Okay, we are back again with Unfinished Music. This is Greg Berger here, along with Rick Moore. And we are joined today by another full house here with the full band. We have Satch Kearns, who spells his name incorrectly. It's Satch Kearns here. He's the leader of the band, and he's going to be singing and playing some acoustic guitar for us. Also joined by Coley Rybicki on drums, Phil Grayton on bass, and Billy Grizzell on lead guitar. And I'm looking around. I got thumbs up, so I pronounced all those names correctly. So welcome, guys. Thank you for coming in today, taking time out of your busy schedules.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, why don't you guys hit us off with a song, and then we'll chat after that.
Okay. Here we go.
Spend a Wednesday afternoon, right?
That's right.
I'm telling you, this is.
Yeah.
You know what? It was. I thought it was Creedence for a minute, and then it morphed into Tom Petty, and then it was you guys. That's awesome.
That's right.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Great tune. Kind
of science fiction rockabilly.
Science fiction rockabilly.
All right, I love it.
Is there much of a story behind it?
Not really, just kind of imagery, kind of futuristic.
Well, yeah. Welcome to the future.
Thank you.
Okay, I got to do this. I'm sorry, but I can't. This is awful to say. I can't hear lyrics. I hear music, and I don't know if it's just me, I guess. So I have to. How can I find your lyrics, Satch? Because you saw me looking at the drums, listening to the drums, and that's the trouble I think with seeing you guys, because seeing music is a little different than just hearing it, like, you know, on an MP3. But is there any way to check out your lyrics?
Well, Rick, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You have to do it the old-fashioned way, Rick.
Keep playing it.
You got to sit down. And
keep playing it.
And then you got to write down the lyrics.
All right, I can do that.
We had to do them. We had to learn the songs. You
know?
You're cruel, man.
Right.
You're cruel. And you're talking about futuristic 21st century.
That's
damn.
That's right.
All right, you got me. I will do that.
All right. Well, I'll jump right to the question I always ask so I don't forget. What's your process for writing songs?
I mean, it kind of varies. Sometimes an idea will come up, and then I'll kind of write around that idea. Like mm-hmm. this next song we're about to play, 21st Century Hobo.
21st Century Hobo?
Somebody kind of looking back romantically at that kind of hobo period, but things have kind of changed in the world, or kind of around him, so that's kind of what it's about.
Can you boost his mic a little? It's not coming through on our recording, and I want to make sure we can hear him when he talks.
Try that, Satch.
Oh. 1-2-2-2.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear 21st Century Hobo.
Okay. You can find it on Bandcamp, by the way. Satch Curran's Bandcamp.
Century.
There you go.
I just want to remind you that the lyrics thing took me 30 years to figure out the lyrics to a Zeppelin song, so you guys have me hooked for the rest of my life. So
all right.
I'll be coming back. Okay. Just saying.
All right. We're going to shortly get you some of your recorded stuff. Why don't you tell us about that particular project? You know, actually, before we do, talk about your background, how you got interested in being a musician, other than, you know, most of us, it was for girls. So, you know, what was your origin? I see a lot of heads nodding.
You know, my older brother plays. He's like 5 years older than me, and so when the British invasion came, he picked up a guitar. But I learned a few chords, but I put it down for a long time until I got into high school, and I actually started playing harmonica, in blues bands and stuff. So I was really, thought myself, you know, a 19-year-old white suburban, you know, blues man. But then I just started gradually grabbing the guitar more, too, and writing songs. And while I was immersed in the blues, I was also listening to people like Dylan and Springsteen, mm-hmm. of course, then, and Elvis Costello and Petty when those guys came out. So it all kind of... I had a band, the Catalinas, for years, and we played up here a lot, and we played in the Boston scene, and we put out a record then, and we played, it got played pretty well on college radio all around the country, and in the BCN Rumble, and so kind of keeping it going since then. The band broke up a few years ago, but kind of been, had my own thing, so.
Yeah, sad day when BCN went down the tubes.
Yeah,
too,
it was
it?
A great...
When you're creating, do you have lyrics sometimes that come without the music, and other times you have music that comes without the lyric?
I know everyone asks this question all the time, and no one really knows. It just kind of, I used to start like with a guitar, and then I'd kind of like I've heard Keith Richards say this. He would like vowel sounds because he's kind of trying to hum something that can fit, and then he's trying to fit lyrics to it. Sometimes I actually write the lyrics and put the music to the lyrics. So it's just it's an evolving process. It goes kind of both ways.
Yeah, they say with writers who authors, you know, they carry a notepad with them all the time, keep it by the bed. Do you do the same type thing?
Well, now, yeah. I mean, I get ideas and I put it down on my notes thing on the phone. But before that, I used to, like, I'd have a melody in my head and I would leave a phone message so I wouldn't forget
okay,
it.
There you go, yeah.
And then... like a book of like song titles, I would kind of, oh, that'd be a good title, and I would write that down. So
awesome. And then what's the creative process like when you get together with a group with your guys for collaboration? Because when you listen to something, is it, I mean when you've got it in your head, you have the whole thing figured out, or then the guys come in and say, okay, I can add this, you should subtract that, or whatever? How does that creative process go?
So I mean, I'll ask these guys, I mean, because sometimes I have definite ideas about things, but sometimes they have some creative kind of ideas too. Feel free to speak up at this point.
It's not a test, guys. You're not going to be graded. Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I don't know. I think that's part of the kick of playing in a band. I mean, if it's original new stuff, you get a chance to toss something out there, and if it goes, you know, if Satch likes it, we run with it. If he says, "Well, why don't you try this a little bit," and we tweak it, but then you know, the collaboration sort of stuff happens. Mm-hmm.
And I've always looked at it as I have a tremendous amount of respect for the people that can write the music and put the songs and the lyrics down. So I've always looked at myself as a side person and, you know, do what they tell me. But, you know, every now and then you come up with a creative thought that gets accepted or rejected. But at the end of the day, it's their music, it's their name, and basically do what I'm told.
Well, and I have to
good teamwork, yeah.
Say for Coley, the fact that you're playing these electronic drums for the first time, I applaud you, because I know some drummers like give me this I'm not touching those, but I appreciate you giving it a try, because I think they sound great.
Yeah, for 56 years I've avoided them, so this is the first time.
21st century,
somebody,
baby,
come
on.
Picture this.
That's right, science fiction stuff. When you recorded something, Satch, I mean, and then you go live. Is how do I phrase this? Is there sometimes you're feeling something, and so you make, you wouldn't change the lyrics, I suspect, or the major melody, but sometimes you do some different stuff with the instruments that you feel?
Yeah, well, sometimes you stretch things out or go into a lyric that might be different. Or,
oh, okay.
Because the whole live thing is different. They're two different entities.
Are there times when you say, okay, I don't want this to stop, let's just keep it going, and and your audience says, yeah, let's keep it going.
Sure.
You
yeah.
keep it
yeah.
round and round. Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, we recorded our last couple CDs at Tony Goddess's place over on it's Main Street and Rogers.
Whichever side you go
that's
in.
That's right, right. So, and Tony's great to work with. He's got great ideas. He really understands where we're coming from.
I've been trying to get him in here since the first day I had this show. So if you see him.
I'll tell him, but he's great, and he's been great for the music scene. So
how long have you been playing music? How long have you been recording, and how long have you been creating?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. So I've been writing songs since probably the late 70s.
So the change from all the media, where we are now, this seems to be like a blank palette now. This reminds me, not that there's a lot of great innovative bands coming out like the British Invasion. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, rock wasn't around. It was invented. But now you've got all this access to electronics, to the media, to the internet, and so on. Does it help in your creativity? And I mean, you can do so many different things, I would think, now.
So it does, and it helps. Like when I first started recording, it was tape.
Right.
Yeah.
Which sounds better, but it's just so hard to kind of manipulate and deal with. But the other thing is tons of music now because of streaming and people just doing stuff on their computers like this, and not all of it's good. So it's a lot. There's a lot of kind of shortcuts, I guess.
When Greg brings you guys in here, the difference to me is that you're not using electronics. You're not using digital stuff. You're playing the music. And as an old timer, I can't stand it when I'll hear someone on the radio, for example, who really isn't singing. It's a canned thing. It's programmed. Mm-hmm. But the person himself or herself can't sing live or play an instrument. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is that stuff has got to fade eventually. It has to, because it's just not real.
We've been saying that for years.
Yeah, but it's been going on for a long time.
Oh, I know. I know, but I don't. And the other thing is, I think our audiences, I hope, you know, in Cape Ann, North Shore, and beyond, when I go to a concert, wherever it is, I still call it Great Woods or in Boston or whatever, anywhere, I actually want to hear the music. I want to see the musicians playing here. I'm not interested in dance and fireworks.
Yeah.
So, I would think this is another way with digital to get your message out there. I mean, there's a million ways you can do it now.
That's true. And you can upload it onto, like, Bandcamp and, like I said, in iTunes or just SoundCloud, Spotify, all those things.
Mm-hmm. And now MSO News Sports.
Yes. Right. And as we said in previous shows, this is an auto-tune-free zone in this
good.
Studio.
That's good. Just, thank God.
Absolutely.
But, okay, well, why don't we listen to something? The song I'm going to play, is there a story behind the project? You know, how recent is this? This is from one EP. The songs you sent, I'm not sure if they all came from one or if they were
they
just...
They did. The same. This CD is called Wait What?
That's right, yeah.
It started out as songs all about Gloucester.
Yes.
That was kind of how it started out. I don't know if are you playing Shipwreck on the Rant Land? Is that
I'll play whichever one you want.
So that's about the fishing industry and what it's done to, like, the lack of what it's done to kind of these guys who have been trying to make a living as fishermen.
Our last guest was Sasquatch, who it's his whole I don't want to say shtick, sounds kind of derogatory, but his whole thing, his music is about the screw job to the fishing industry.
So let's
give it a listen.
I'm a
They're cutting back the days on a boat. They're cutting back the size of the kid. It all seems so wrong. Oh man, I'm living in a Springsteen song. I need a place.
He needs a place.
I'm a shipwreck on land. We gotta do something. I get mad, I throw up my hands. Come up short, come up with nothing. I can't even do it, I can't do what I can. Or maybe send me to that school. Something's gotta come my way. That's what they say. I need a plane.
He needs a plane.
I'm a shipwreck on the land. I need a plane.
He needs a plane.
I'm a shipwreck on the land.
We're back. Sorry, we got so excited there.
Yeah, we'll do the video. Yeah, we're going to get live video next time.
So why don't you tell us about that? While it was playing, we were talking to Rick about the sax play. Why don't you tell us about the project itself?
Yeah, so for a couple of the songs, I had drummer Leo Schemetero. And so I used him for a couple of songs, and he said, hey, I can bring this guy, Timo Shanko, who plays bass and sax. And Timo used to play with G-Love and Special Sauce. And so I was like, great. And so he came down that night, and he's pretty. We were all just amazed. And we were all just like, the stuff he was doing with sax and bass and just incredible musician.
Yeah, it could add a whole new dimension.
It did, yeah.
So what, you have anything in the works now? Or writing at this point, getting ready for something, or?
I'm still writing. I actually put some of my home kind of demos I put on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Snake Eyes, about 12 songs that I did just in my home, little home studio, eight-track studio I have.
Yeah.
That gambling or rolling the dice or Snake's Eyes?
Yeah, it's about Snake Eyes rolling the dice.
Okay.
Kind of in life, so to speak.
Okay.
So it's like a metaphor.
I'm a math teacher, sorry, I don't know. I'm all but that's cool. Do you have I love asking you guys when you come in if you have a particular story you could relate of something really strange that may have happened or something that jumps out at you in terms of a memory of a performance somewhere, a gig somewhere, or somewhere you played, because I'm sure you have many terrific experiences, but is there anything that jumps out that you could share as being something a little bit different, maybe?
Well, so probably my all-time favorite gig was I opened up for Roy Orbison 4 days before he died.
Wow. There you go. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, so we opened up. So tell me about
that. Here's one other interesting thing, is that he played two nights at the Channel, Friday and Saturday. And so I opened up one night, and this guy named Ira Bernstein opened the other night. And so we were kind of hanging out a little bit together because they wanted us to both come down and get used to the stage and everything. And then he was in a band called Big Train, Ira and his brother. And years later, I'm reading something by Florence Henderson in Parade magazine.
And Mrs. somebody Brady? Asked
him, Mrs. Brady, yeah.
She was married to a guy named Ira Bernstein, and it's their mother. So I thought, I was like, wow. She goes, yeah, my sons are doing great. They're in a band called Big Train in Boston.
Damn, that's cool.
So I was like, well, I was hanging out with that guy. He was really, really nice, humble guy, too. Good guy.
So did you get to see Roy Orbison or hear him?
I got to hear him. I absolutely got to hear him.
Was his voice as good as...
I remember putting my head in the speakers when he was singing In Dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
It was unbelievable, just like the records are.
Yeah.
And so I have, that was like amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah. Neat.
This is when the Traveling Wilburys was really hitting. Yeah. He came out and he was great. He was great, but he didn't look healthy. I'll say that.
Really?
He looked really white. And he died 4 days later, heart attack.
Damn.
Jeez. Well, it's going to catch up with all of us, I think. So.
Way to go, Greg.
Yeah. On the bright side, we're all going to die.
Right.
So.
Sun shining, it's almost 70 degrees. We're all going to die.
Just a little bit of reality there. So, on that note, you have any song, maybe a death song that you want to play?
Yeah, right. Well, I got plenty of those. Yeah.
Yeah, give us something. Put it. Drum still, just give us a tap. Good, we're good.
All right, so I grew up in Danvers, and this is a song about these guys that used to hang out in the bars, these older guys that were, they weren't married, they didn't really work. It was kind of an enigma.
Male barflies.
Call them River Boys, yeah.
River Boys.
One, two... 1, 2, 3, 4. There's only one alley in that town. They found it all right. Crows from the broken down lounge. Out behind the pizza joint, Baldy's 59 years old. He cries at the drop of a hat. I and Mike got that crazy look in his eye. He's crazier than a shithouse rat. And Ringo is the nasty one. You wanna stay clear of him. Deacon is a voice of wisdom. He quotes Blake, Ginsberg, and Whitman. It's Tuesday morning. Sky's so clear. That long, dirty road that brought you heat. Yeah, preaching to the river boy. Down by that river, cuts of dry land into two lonely pieces. No matter where you stand, they call them the River Boys. They always kept to themselves. There was a way of life down there, and nothing you could buy or sell. Needs to get a kick out of him. They called him Kid till they figured out he fit right in. It's Tuesday morning, the sky is so clear. That long dirty road that brought you here. Gonzo choir, sweet voices out of tune, reaching higher and higher. and he leads them in a prayer. They don't hear a sound, but he gives a sermon. It's his own Sermon on the Mount. Tuesday morning, the sky is so clear. That long dirty road, it brought you here. To the river, boys. Yes, he is, yes, he is, yes, he is. Reaching to the river, boys.
Excellent again. Oh, let me get this reverb off here. So, before we jump ahead, the Gloucester song, you mentioned a bunch of the songs that were Gloucester centric. Mm. So, obviously, if you're living on Cape Ann, it's all around you, it gives you the inspiration. But was it a conscious decision? I'm going to put these songs together on this collection.
Yeah, kind of. It was actually, yes.
Yeah.
And I had a song called Dogtown.
Yeah.
About the woods and everything, and Kid from Gloucester, Shipwreck on the Land. I've got a song about the Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted all of them, but it just didn't work out to have all of them be about
right.
Gloucester, but a strong component of it was.
Right. You did give a subtle plug earlier, but why don't you do it again while we're paused to talk about the Bandcamp, your specific website, where people can go buy some music. You know, listen to samples and stuff.
Yeah, so Bandcamp, Satch Kearns, just Google that, and this new CD will pop up, Wait What, and Snake Eyes will both be there. And then iTunes has Elliot Street, which was the first CD I did on my own in 2005, I think. And then River Boys came after that in 2008, and we did Pieces in 2011. At Tony's place,
yep.
So it was the first time we went into Tony's.
All right.
So iTunes and Bandcamp. I can also be, you know, Spotify. You can find me on Spotify.
We have the link, right? We have the link to his website.
There is.
Yeah, make sure
I don't have the website anymore because, I mean, I just don't think you need it. It was expense that,
yeah.
With Facebook,
mm-hmm.
that can, you know, you can create events and create gigs that way, so...
It must be cool. It must be really cool to have a song stuck in your head that's your own.
Well, when you're writing them, it's all you think about. But then after I'm done playing them, I hardly ever go back and play my own things.
Really?
No.
Because it's a curse. Sometimes some stupid ass song you hear wherever, and it's stuck in you. Or you'll be going along having a great day, and some song from out of nowhere. Am I right? It'll just grab you and like, I don't want to hear this anymore. So I was just thinking, as an artist, it must be so cool to hear your own music in your own head. Damn. Or if you play live, I mean, you know, you goes after a gig, do you go home and the stuff is rattling around?
All night long.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
So it takes a while to tone it down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rick, on that point, I think shameless plug for Satch, but Satch has been on the River Homegrown Music series quite a few times, and a couple songs off of Pieces were on the radio, so... At least for me to be able to sit on my couch and turn on 92.5 The River and hear some of his music come across that you played on. As New Englanders say, that's a wicked cool thing.
It is. Wicked pissa. That was the class of 87's motto, wicked pissa. No, that is cool. I know Eric Dahlgren, I used to teach with Eric, and he was on a few Bob Seger albums. He played guitar, and it's the same thing when you hear a song. It's like, I know that guy. Oh, that's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's from Rockport.
Eric,
His wife was my son's teacher.
Okay,
Jen, right?
Jen Harris, Jen Dahlgren,
yeah.
Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah, he played. Who did he play with? He played with on Seeger.
He played on Seeger and a few other.
Fairport Convention or something.
Yeah,
too, I think.
He was a sessions player up in Detroit before he became a teacher. And he jammed with. Yeah. He claims to have jammed with Hendrix. I don't doubt it.
But he says he plays the solo on Incense Peppermints by Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, he's been on a lot of stuff. But that's that. But I like that. That is her own stuff. That is so cool. It's being published.
We've got plenty of time here. You want to give us another live song before we move on to some of the recordings?
Sure. What we got? Sweetness. Yeah, Sweetness.
Yeah.
Yep, this is off the record Pieces. And I'll try to play something off Elliott Street as well to represent each record, right? So we'll do that. So. Yep, this is called Pieces. Tears of pity, ain't no shame. We're gonna be tonight. This is what she said. And goodbye, me, honey. You saw the mystery. Everything moving like a honeybee. Here come the. You can cast a spell. Best I ever had. I never tell the truth, but I promise I won't be bad. And if you find me, honey, you'll solve the mystery. Everything moving like a honeybee. Here come the sweetness, sweetness, sweetness coming on down the line.
Song was moving. That was great. So I'd say you guys are the first. I had a big group of people here a few weeks ago with Pier One, but it's the first time we've had a drummer live in studio. So you guys are killing it. All right.
And that's the first time on the electronic drums in here? Is that
right? We haven't had any drummers.
Right. Okay. That's excellent. I love that.
Yeah.
All right.
It's big enough. Somebody said, no, it's not big enough for drums, whatever, but it's fine.
Yeah. What, you mean the sound is not
the
big
room,
enough?
No, the room yeah. It wasn't big enough for...
Yeah, well, I say that typically because my wife is upstairs and it's too big for Heard I hear the drums booming through the floor. But anyway.
Do you as you're studying music and learning music and writing and learning how to create and so on, if you get to an obstacle, I don't know that you ever have. It's kind of a stupid question, but because I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, but I want to learn how to do things. You get to an obstacle, and whether it's playing a chord or writing a chord, or doing putting something together with a group, have there been times when you any of you guys really, when you get frustrated and say, okay, I got to go back and figure this thing out, and so it's a challenge, and then you overcome it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Plenty of times.
Oh, okay.
It's just, you got to start over fresh the next day, or even revisit it a few days later.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Kind of.
And does it happen sometimes that, okay, the light sort of comes on, and then you do the dope slap, like, oh, crap, this is so easy. I wish it. You know what I'm saying? Because you worked at it. Does that process happen?
Yeah, that can be. Sometimes you're just pounding it into the ground. You don't really realize it. And uh-huh. then you need to kind of step back from it and kind of revisit it, I think.
I think, though, it must be so satisfying to be able to create and then hear it and have that creation out there, because it comes from you. You're not borrowing it. You're not renting it. You're not buying it. It's yours. And that has to be, a source of great self-gratification. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's always great. I guess. Yep.
It's always great when someone else applauds, of course. Yeah. But when you hear your own stuff and you know you've completed something, I mean, that's cool. You built something.
It can be humbling. It can be. It's mm-hmm. You know, you always think that the thing you just wrote is always your best song ever. But sometimes you just kind of, I don't know. Sometimes people pick on. You know, like when I sent River Boys the CD to River Boys the River. 92.5, they picked Little Black Dog, which I never would have picked, but they played it a lot, and so you never know what song is going to kind of take with certain people.
Right. Well, and the thing is, music is like books. It's very personal. I mean, everything you write is personal for you, but then on the other hand, it's universal, because people say, oh, that's my song. I love that. That's my song. And it gets out there and it becomes personal to them. But it's, I don't know. I'm just in awe of what you do. It's amazing.
Sometimes they're totally different, too. I mean, you mentioned the Shipwrecked on the Land. We had worked on that in the studio and stuff, and it's a totally different incarnation that made it to the CD.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Do you do that when you play live? Sometimes just change things up. You have a different.
Yeah, it can sometimes deliberately. Sometimes it just sounds like I do my home demos and I give them to these guys, and which can be kind of problematic because I have it in my head so much. Yeah. But sometimes you have to realize that, you know, these ideas they bring in will work, and then when you play it live, it just takes on a life of its own. Yeah. Kind of, so it's different.
So for your home demos, do you play the drums? Do you use a drum machine? Just don't have any
drum machine. Yeah. An Alesis drum machine, and I play most of the other stuff. I play a lot more piano and stuff at home.
Now, do you find yourself, because we now have a drummer for our band, but a lot of the stuff I played the drums on just for our recordings, and I was saying to the other guys, it's hard for me to let go and let her sort of.
Yeah, and drummers hate drum machines.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty much they just.
Yeah, well, I recorded on that set, and I'm not a drummer, so it's kind of. But still, I had it exactly in my mind what I wanted, and then she sort of went in a little different direction. Then after, it's like, geez, she's actually much better than I am, so I'm not complaining. But maybe this, if it's a drum machine, maybe you don't have as much ownership because you're just picking a pattern and telling it to go.
Right. That's So that's been an age-old conflict, but I like it more to just kind of keep time of everything keep everything in time.
How'd you learn? How did you learn music? How did you learn the different instruments and so on?
I just learned from records, and my brother taught me a few things.
Just picked it up and it's that.
Yeah, song books with the chord diagrams, right? That's how.
That's how it's
Mel Bay.
Right, yeah, Mel Bay.
Mel
right.
Bay, yeah, of course.
Right.
Now, we've got, there's nobody actually coming in next, but we have about 15 minutes. Do you want to, anything you want to play before so we don't run out of time? I know we're going to go out live with, help me out, the...
Sinner?
Yeah.
Out but, in the world?
Yeah.
What with that?
But we have
we'll
probably squeeze in two more.
Gloss or two more?
Yeah, I think we can squeeze in a recording and then a couple live songs. Recording, live song, then go out on that last recording.
Okay, so you're going to do a recording now?
Yes. So you have a preference?
What were the other ones?
We have
Claim, I guess would be a good
Claim?
One.
Okay.
Claim.
Okay.
All right, so I'll crank it up and we're out.
Satch is tuning up, so let's talk to the other guys. Why don't we talk about some gear? There's always the gearheads out there that like to know what we're using. So I see a Fender Precision.
Yeah, 1973.
Nice, vintage, okay.
Yeah.
Have you had it since 73?
That's when I, yeah, bought it brand new.
Wow, we.
A lot of changes since then.
Yeah.
Not on this.
Since 73, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my Rickenbacker behind you, I got in, it's a 78, I got in high school in 85, so... It's you have one favorite. Is that your favorite? That
yeah, actually, I went to school in Danvers too, and we had a Rickenbacker
really?
As well. So that was nice. That was the schools.
Wow, we had a Fender Squire when I was in high school. I guess Rockport. I mean,
where'd you go to prep?
No, Danvers High.
Okay, jeez. All right, go good for them.
Wow,
They used to have a great astronomy program. I know that.
Yeah. I was before that.
Okay. No. The Dunn Planetarium was there until about.
They were just building that when I was there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I got you. Because they just demolished it a few years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So, Billy, tell us about. You have a pretty cool guitar. Tell us about that one.
I've got a B Bender. It's a 91 Telecaster B Bender.
Which give us it. If you're not familiar with it,
you push down on the strap and it raises the B string a whole step or a half step.
Yeah, I had never heard of it, so I encourage all the people out there who have an interest to go Google B Bender.
That's Gene Parsons and Clarence White.
That is nice. It doesn't.
The B Bender for the birds.
Does it keep it in tune? Or I mean, doesn't.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool little effect.
Nice. All right. So, Satch, we're back. You want to play something? There was one you did want to play live, so you want to...
Yeah. Two more songs, just so I can be sure of...
One live, one recording.
One live, one... Okay, so this is... So we wanted to do Kid from Gloucester, right? Live? We wanted to do that live? Okay.
All right. There's a lot of landmarks mentioned in the song
right
there.
That's right.
All right. So listen up. There'll be a quiz after. See if you can get them all.
I'm just a kid from Gloucester. I'm just a kid from Gloucester. I'm just a kid from
excellent. Out on a big finish there. So I think there's no need to tell the story about that. It's pretty much about Gloucester. Mm. So have you ever lived in Gloucester? Are you Brockport and Danvers?
I've never lived in Gloucester, no. I came up to Cape Ann.
Just the aura of
Rockport.
Yeah, the aura of Gloucester's so awe-inspiring that you...
Well, yeah, it's you know, it's there's a lot to write about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got any stuff coming up in live stuff locally in the area, North Shore?
The only thing I have is a songwriter showcase in Lynn on March 26th.
And what is that and where is it?
Compass Rose. The Compass Rose, I think, in Lynn, that this guy T Max from The Noise, yeah. he's kind of putting this song, open mic songwriter thing on. So it's from 2 to 4:30 at a coffee house in Lynn.
That's my neighborhood. I'll have to be there.
Yeah.
All right.
By Billy.
Across the bridge. All right.
Well, we're already over the bridge on this side, so in West Gloucester. But, all right. Well, thank you. So. We're going to do some housekeeping. We're going to go out on the recording of, just remind me again.
Out Here in the World.
Out Here in the World, okay. So let me just do some quick housekeeping here. Coming up on Unfinished Music March, all these shows are at 3 p.m. live, and you can tune in for on-demand listening within 24 hours, usually a lot sooner. But March 15th, we have Renee and Joe. On March 22nd, we have the Lucky Ones Duo. And I just booked on April 5th, Inga Berg. And then on It's April 5th. And on April 19th, we have my band, Caution Horses, and Chelsea Berry will be filling in as the guest host for that show. So I just want to say a big thanks to...
I'm going
to
wear a tie that day.
Yes, you should. I'll have a tuxedo on. Seth Kearns, thank you so much for coming in. We're joined by Coley Rybicki, Phil Grayton, and Billy Grizzell. Did I get them all right?
You did.
All right. Second time around's a charm.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So spread the word to folks out there who are listening now that this show is available, will be available on demand. We have other great shows coming up and other great shows already in the can for you to listen to. So let's take it out.
His laugh.